There is another way to learn. Where questions open doorways, where wonder leads us home, where every heart remembers the wisdom it has known. All learning reimagined, where passion meets possibility. With Teresa Songbird, come explore what learning can be. For parents, teachers, seekers, and dreamers, learning comes alive.
G'day, and welcome to All Learning Reimagined. I'm your host, Teresa, bringing you a little ray of sunshine, as together we're reimagining the future of education, one inspired story at a time. And I wanted to say welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for all of the listeners out there who have been reaching out and giving me great feedback on how much you're enjoying the Art of Paying Attention series. This is the fourth episode and the final episode in the series. But if you missed it, our episode one was around the economy of distraction. You know, where is my attention going? And the activities for that were, micro practices for that were really quite deep. I found that I personally just shifted when I actually slowed down and observed and took notice of where my attention was going. Episode two was looking at how attention creates our reality. And yes, it has very much to do with how it creates our reality. And that was actually my favorite episode. There was so much in there to dive into. And last week we looked at how nature trains our attention. For those of you who listen to me regularly know how much I love nature and the natural way. It just feels like it's, I don't know, I just feel really connected with it as the path of going back to the natural way, getting out of my headspace and overthinking constantly and tapping back into my whole metaphysical body and my heart space. So that is where we're launching from today. Episode four is about the presence creates relationships. Relationships underpin everything that we do. And it's really, really important, particularly when it comes to the topic of learning, because it doesn't even have to be relationships between two people. It could be relationships between animals and nature and the environment. But that presence is really important. So my opening question to you today, I don't have a, well, I sort of have a story, but sort of a story and more of a question is how I want to start today. And that is, when was the last time that you gave someone your complete attention? That means no devices, no distractions, no thoughts in your head where you're nodding and you're half listening to them, but you're actually thinking about what am I going to say next, or, you know, what do I need to get from the shops this afternoon, or anything like that. It's not the checking of your phone or waiting for your turn to speak. It's actually listening, really listened. And how did that feel? I mean, most of us know the difference immediately. And children sense this. Young children in particular really sense this. I mean, think of a time when you needed to talk to someone who simply just was with you. They didn't interrupt. They didn't offer solutions or advice. They didn't try and change how you felt. Often they just barely say anything. They're just present. And for me, sometimes when I leave those conversations, I often do not remember what that, you know, man or woman or child said. It's how I felt in their presence. You know, I felt seen, heard, safe enough to speak, sometimes even clearer about myself. And this really makes me stop and wonder if attention is a form of care. Because someone that will sit in your presence and give you your whole attention cares for you. Think about a mother or a father with a newborn baby and how they can just pour all of their attention into that baby. But as that child grows up, do we still keep that care and attention? Yes, but do we still keep that focus, that presence when we are with them? So lately I've been noticing, and these were my questions to ponder this week that I wrote down when I was journaling, when someone's speaking to me, am I listening to them or am I just preparing my response? of what I want to say next. And as an educator, this is something that is we fall into by natural default. How often do I give the other person my undivided attention? That's difficult if you're a classroom teacher in a room of 20 plus children being pulled every which way, particularly if you're in early childhood with lots of young children. So I don't know what the magic answer is, but for those who are home tutoring or a parent or a grandparent who are just sitting and reading a bedtime story or just sitting and listening to their day or something that they discovered down by the creek, just notice what happens in your body when you feel genuinely heard, and also consider how much attention or presence you have when you are with other people. It really, this one really hits hard for me because it's almost like you can be together, but your mind can be elsewhere. And it really feels to me like the technology becomes an example of divided presence because, you know, I've touched on phones and distraction before and devices, but it's worth repeating. We can physically be together, but our attention can be elsewhere. You can be scrolling, and half listening to a question. I mean, families sit around restaurants and tables while everyone is scrolling. Couples might be sitting and watching television while simultaneously checking their phone. You know, they're multitasking. Children could be telling us stories about what's happening to their day, and here we are checking emails. Friends catch up on their notifications repeatedly when you're at a cafe, pulling their attention away from the conversation. Now, I'm not saying that this is something everyone does, but I've been stopping and slowing down and looking at my environment around me, and these are the things that I am observing. It's not a judgment. We all do it. Gosh, I know I put my hand up and do it. And that's why I wanted to bring my attention to this series. It feels like it's time to bring it up and go, okay, what does divided attention communicate? Even maybe unintentionally, you know, it might be that I'm communicating that something else is more important than the person, the man, the woman, or the child that I am with at that time. You know, that attention really communicates value. And that's a really, I know that seems so simple, but for anyone that's out there that works with children, really let that land. Attention, your attention communicates value because the children are taking on board and this is helping them shape their own inner world. And listening is more than hearing words. You know, when we truly attend someone, we're not just listening to the language. We're noticing the pace and the tone and the breathing. Of course, the facial expressions and their posture, but it's also the silence. And it's also the energy. We're picking up on all of these things. You know, what becomes animated sometimes could cause someone to withdraw or expand or hesitate to answer. I mean, the whole body is listening. So it's, are you in tune with what your body is telling you? And are you reading the play? Can you read the cues from whoever it is that you are spending time with and communicating with? And this connects beautifully with the embodied intelligence series that I finished just recently. You know, our whole body is listening. I think I did a whole episode on this. It was amazing. Do I tighten when they say something? Do I immediately feel the urge to defend myself? Do I want to rescue them? Do I become impatient or do I feel warmth and open and curiosity? Your body is constantly giving us cues. So, you know, listening can take us into a couple of different directions. I mean, what am I noticing in you? But also, what am I noticing in myself? And this is relational awareness, which is really what I wanted to bring up today. The deep listening is, can we listen without fixing? And I know that teachers, I'm completely guilty of this over the years, fall straight into fixing mode. And, you know, even friends, if someone reaches out and says, I'm struggling, I would really like to talk to you, many of us immediately try and search for a solution for them. You know, have you tried this? You should do that. What you need to do is this. Sometimes this comes from care. Usually it comes from care. But sometimes that advice is actually often interrupting what's unfolding, and that's that person just wants your space, your presence. They may not need an answer yet. They're working out the answers for themselves. So, and sometimes when we're speaking aloud and offering our advice, we're robbing them of the learning to discover it on their own. So what I've learned over my many decades is that when I actually learn to shut my mouth and just sit and listen and be deep listening, it's really communicating that, you know, I trust you can be capable of finding something within yourself, and I am going to create space for you to hear it. Presence can sometimes, in my opinion, be more useful than advice. And that's quite tricky to do. In fact, it's almost impossible to do when you're in a classroom with many, many children. It's just not set up for success in that way. But if you do have the opportunity, you know, to conference or have a conversation one-on-one with a child, are you distracted and taking notes or scanning the room or doing something else? Or does that child have your full attention and presence? This is really landing for me, this conversation, because I'm feeling into the many decades that I have been in this space where you're just pulled in from pillar to post, and it's really quite difficult to do in a learning perspective. And that's probably why I prefer to be outside, because I find that when you're outside, everything seems to relax and slow down. And being away from the technology and the, you know, the energetic weather of all of the frequencies certainly helps to clear my mind, and then helps my body and my nervous system to settle so that I can be more present. So I would love to, where will I take this conversation? Let me ask you, well, okay, have you ever had a conversation with someone and they're constantly glancing at their phone? Let's flip this around, where you were the one that needed or were seeking someone's presence and they were distracted, you know, and then flip that around. Is there someone in your life that when you're talking to them, you know, their whole body is relaxed and their eyes are attentive, their posture is open, and they're genuinely with you? You know, I know I can feel the difference. Can you? Because before they even speak or say anything, our bodies are communicating, our energy is communicating. And, you know, I probably even can connect this to animals. Pets are amazing at choosing to give you attention or not. Well, cats are a whole other story. But, you know, if you're sitting quietly beside a dog or a horse or a cat that's in the mood, there's a little language that needs to be involved. That relationship is happening through proximity and movement and breath and touch. It's almost like a state of being. And animals, in my opinion, can remind us that presence does not require constant words. Sometimes connection occurs between two living beings who simply just share the space. And I really feel like that's a beautiful idea to bring into human relationships as well. You know, the animals, when you sit back and you observe them, you observe that mother bird who notices the needs of her chicks who are, you know, squawking, the animal who's orientating towards the mother, or plants that responding to light or water or touch. There's just so much that the environment can tell us about the ecosystems and how they notice each other. And I feel like human relationships are no different at all. So that then led me, I've got notes here from my journal. So for any, I like to go outside. I have this beautiful big tree that I like to sit down and go, okay, what do I feel like needs to come out in this episode. What points do I want to say? And what is it usually I say, what is it I need reminder of, or what it is that I need to remember or learn myself? And I'm sharing. So all of these episodes are the journey that I am on as well, which is why I'm sharing them. But the thing that came up, and I've underlined it, is what am I communicating beyond words? Because I use a lot of words. I love to talk. I talk for the sake of talking because I just love to talk. It's fun. And yet, probably at least the last, I would say, 5 or 6 years, maybe 7 or 8 years, I've started learning to sit back and just allow. So I go in bursts of enthusiasm, actually. But this was a really key question for me because, you know, when you walk into a room, you can sense tension before anything else, or you can sense happiness and joy before anything else. Sometimes you can think of someone and then they call you. A parent can sense something when something isn't right with their child. Horses can become settled or unsettled around certain people. I mean, we're constantly communicating beyond words. And that's the space that I really love to play in, the multidimensional space, not just the physical space. And I don't want to just talk about intellectual things. I want to get out of the brain. We've been on the intellectual pathway with learning for far too long. It's time to come back to all aspects of ourself. And so for me, how much information passes between living beings is something that I'm still learning. I'm not sure I'm still consciously comprehending how I'm doing that. Maybe I don't need to know the how. But so I'm not going to label it, and I don't even want to prove anything. I'm just curious and I really want to explore this. If there's anyone out there that can help me, please reach out. Go to my landing page, bbsradio.com/all-learning-reimagined, and share, because I'm really genuinely interested. I'm very, very curious about this. You know, what becomes possible when two people are fully present in the same time in the multidimensional space? You know, how can that be activated? That light, that inner light that we have that's flowing through our fascia, you know, our mitochondria, like all the things. There's just so much there to really feel into. And then the other thing that occurred to me was I was actually watching two young teenagers the other day, and they were having a disagreement. I could tell by the body language they were having a disagreement, but they were giving each other their full attention. Nothing was going to distract them from what it is that both of them needed to say in that moment. And I was fascinated to observe. They weren't yelling. They were more just having it wasn't even a heated discussion, but they were focused and they were disagreeing, but their presence was just mastery. And I was watching this going, wow, just because it, you know, presence doesn't mean you agree with what's going on. The disagreement can be there. And that made me stop and think, oh gosh, could I remain present with someone whose perspective is different from mine? If someone starts sharing something with me and I disagree, or it butts up against my own belief systems or inner knowing, do I go off on a tangent in my head? Or do I stay and continue to listen to comprehend instead of listening to try and trump and defeat what they're saying? You know, am I surrendering to my own discernment? This takes me on a whole deeper level, because disagreement is something that lots of people sweep to the side. Oh no, we don't want to talk about that. We just want to talk about the pleasant stuff. Well, newsflash, pleasant stuff is not life. We have to look at all aspects of ourselves. We live in a dualistic world. So, you know, yin and yang, dark and light, agreement, disagreement, there's always going to be some sort of push and pull with opposites. So attention and presence, certainly in a relational capacity, needs to be part of this conversation. Deep listening does not mean agreement. Presence does not mean abandoning your own boundaries. So that means then for me, attention does not mean that the other person receives unlimited access to our energy. So this is something that I really feel very important about, because from someone who's experienced burnout from my career and my life, and I just had to walk away and gain some space and take some time off to really come back and recalibrate. And it was my fault because I didn't put in the boundaries. I was trying so hard to help and help and help others at the expense of my own relationship with my own presence, my inner presence. So that's really important. State of being, if you're a parent, you're a teacher, you're a leader, you're an educator, you're a neighbor, whoever you are, always stop and focus on your own presence first and launch from that when you are going into a conversation or a space where there is someone else. Yes, we can be actually there and present for them, but are we also present for ourselves? I learned this the hard way, and my boundaries are very strong now. I will not put anything in my field. I do not give any attention to anything that I feel is a distraction or is going to drag me in a away from the path that I'm choosing, because it is a choice. Choice is a superpower. And I feel so much more peace for it and being in that creative mode. And some people actually say, how do you get so much done? Well, I know what it is to ignore. I think Bruce Lee even mentioned something like that. I had a quote from him years ago that I used to have sitting up in one of my offices. And it was, oh, I can't even remember what it is. I'll have to go back and find it and put it in this week's article. It was around knowing what it is to let go and ignore the distractions, where to direct my attention. We cannot do it all. So that's a really good point to make, is tuning into your own attention and the relationship with yourself. And boundaries are really important. And if you are a teacher or an educator out there, have your breaks. It's a really important, get some sunshine. And I don't mean breaks as in going into a staff room where if people are whinging and moaning. No, that is not a break. That is sometimes it's having just space and quietness and recalibrating yourself. So carving out that time, because for those of us, and I've been guilty of this over the years, who push through our lunch hours and coach this team or run that tutorial or conference with this student, and you just push through, you are really helping the world and contributing, but what are you doing to yourself? That is the question that I'm asking myself constantly when I find myself going down that operating system, that learned habit, that looped habit, which I have chosen to break. So I'm going to switch now to then talk about that children relearn relationships through attention. And every parent out there, take note of this. This is really important. Children communicate. They often communicate while they're doing something else. They might draw beside us and then suddenly say something very important. A teenager begins talking while they're driving because eye contact isn't required when they're having a conversation. And a young child can tell you a long, long, winding story sometimes that seems insignificant to the adult, but is actually really enormously important to them. So if we're continually rushing them towards, can you just get to the point, and correcting their language or only half listening while doing something else, we actually may be unintentionally teaching them something about whether their inner world deserves space or not. When we become present, we're communicating to you, hey, I'm interested. You matter. Please keep going. And so sometimes, you know, when you're busy, it can be, I really want to hear what you're saying right now. However, I need to do this, this, this. Can we please come back to this? Because I really want to spend time listening to you. It's okay to put your boundaries in and redirect if it's not the right time. But if you have nothing else to do and nowhere else to be, are you giving your full attention to that child? Because it is literally shaping how they see themselves and their self-worth. Am I worthy? Am I good enough? You know, there's so much in the world talking about how this seems to be an underlying belief, and a lot of these beliefs come from our parents and the adults around us shaping us when we are children. All of us are involved in this, whether we know it or not, and whether we want to admit it or not. Our attention can help another person pay attention to themselves. That's pretty significant to me, because I know when someone's deeply listening to me, I hear myself differently. And so when I am fully present with someone else, then sometimes that can be all that they need. And then they can hear themselves differently. They feel different because the attention leads into the relationship. And then that relationship helps shape their perception. You know, that connection, that trust. There's so many layers to this, and it seems so simple. And yet it has huge consequences that can ripple through lifetimes for some people. So my micro practice this week, so for those who are new listeners, welcome. Every week I write an article and for free, and I publish it on the landing page, bbsradio.com/all-learning-reimagined. No capital letters needed. And this week, the micro practice that I would like to share is to choose a conversation. But before the conversation happens, put your phone somewhere else. So, you know, just be aware and then consciously release the need to fix anything or give advice or interrupt or compare or tell a similar story, you know, the one up. Or prepare what you're going to say next. Just whoever it is that you're going to choose to have the conversation with, just listen and notice their words, their pauses, their expression, their tone and body language. Notice your own body too. And if your mind wanders, just gently redirect it and return. But the micro practice is also then using one prompt, and that is, tell me more. Tell me more. How often do people actually say that to me? Tell me more. I know people who like to gossip say that. Ooh, tell me more, because they want that. I'm not talking about that space at all. It's if someone's sharing something with you and you say, okay, what else? Tell me more. And then just shut up. Be quiet. Allow space. Don't evaluate whether you're good at listening. This practice is not about evaluating yourself. It's just noticing, what did I notice that I might have normally missed in other conversations? It's just observing, how do you interact in your relationships when you're communicating with others? It's a really interesting listening experiment for yourself. And I'll have reflection questions in the article as well. But the thing that I really want to know is, how often do we let other people know that they were seen and then speak it, you know, actually acknowledge them? I did this experiment a couple of weeks ago, and it actually shifted the way I'm operating right now. And it was giving people acknowledgement from, it's not empty praise, it's acknowledgement from what I've observed. So I might say to someone, you know, a student, I noticed how patient you were because I was working with such and such, and you were just so patient. That was amazing. I noticed how much care you put into that. I noticed you really seemed alive when you talked about that idea. Or I noticed that you took initiative and you helped that other person without even asking. That's amazing. And this is different from being complimented, because it's a beautiful contribution of practice, and it's showing that you are present. Even though you might not be fully present with them, you have observed them, you've seen them, you've heard them, you've acknowledged them. And that is where I would love to end our beautiful four conversations of this attention series. Because in my opinion, when we begin noticing how easily our attention can be captured, then we can explore what shapes our perception and open up the possibilities. For me, paying attention is part of being a relationship with ourselves, a relationship with our bodies and ideas, a relationship with possibilities and nature, and of course, one another. And for me, all of that, all of the above, is actually relationship with life itself, because learning is life. So my final question to finish off this series is, what deserves the gift of your attention in your life right now? Not what demands it, what deserves it? Much love to you all. I am going to leave you there. Thank you for joining me on All Learning Reimagined. Until next week, explore, experience, express, go out and live learning.
Carry the wonder with you. Carry the questions home. Every seed of understanding has a life of its own. All learning reimagined, where learning comes alive. With heart, with hope, with courage, we help the future rise. With Teresa Songbird. Until next time, keep exploring, keep creating, keep remembering.